Good morning. I'm nervous, man. Wait, you want this and you want that? I'm ready for you, man. I'm ready for you. Well, it's an absolute privilege for me to be here with Pastor John and Pastor Danielle and the kids and the church family. We've heard so much about you, and when Pastor John sent me a text and a call, I was like, "Are you sure, God? you should be coming to us." And so I'm very humbled. I'm seriously privileged. It's great to be here. Beautiful house, beautiful home. So thank you so much. So great, man. I love the bass player, man. You look like Jesus. As preachers, we're like, "God, I want to see you." And then, oh. I'm all good now. That's God. I don't know if my family, Sam and Jody, are here. If you're here, can you lift your hand? I think they will come in. Well, I just, when they turn up, I acknowledge them. But thank you. You're great. Love the singing. Keyboardist, you can stay. Yeah, great. Thank you. Jesus, don't leave. Just hang around at the back somewhere. Someone get Jesus a feed, man. He's probably been here since like 6:30. I'm married to my beautiful friend, my bestie Joe. Joe is half Australian, half New Zealander. Her grandfather was the ambassador of Australia to New Zealand, Sir Edmund Hicks. So I say that proudly. And so if I need to come into Australia and they say no, I say Sir Edmund Hicks. We have three children. The eldest is married. I have a grandson. My first grandson's 3.5 years old. Runs around the church while the children's church is on. And everyone's trying to grab him. Then he runs to Papa because he knows Papa's the boss. And so this, you know, the catchers and people, they try and I just look at them and they're like, my eldest daughter, she's looking at going to Bible college. She's done a business studies. And so my second eldest, she's finishing, this is her last year, fifth year of law degree. And she said, "Dad, I'm going to be a lawyer next year." I said, "Yes, more money for me." Then she said, "Dad, I'm going to get married." And I'm like, "Oh." My eldest son is 19. He's looking at following his mother's footsteps. His mother finished her master's degree in theology, Alpha Crucis. So he wants to be like his mum so that he can help me with my preaching. He sits up the front and he takes the notes, and after church, he has that look. So I'm like, "Here we go." "Yes, son, stop this prophetic stuff you do. Just be logical. Point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You prophetic 1, you go to 8, then come back to 3. Then you lost everybody." I listen to him, I give him a hug, and he prays for me. Every dad whose 19-year-old son, who holds him and loves him and prays for him, it's the greatest feeling ever. He has a friend now. I'm from a place called Ōtara. It's the most wealthiest place in New Zealand. It's the metropolis city of New Zealand. In the morning, all you'll hear is ratatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatat four of the main gang members are situated around our church. We're in the right in the middle of Ōtara. It's the greatest place on earth. Recently, we had police officers run past the doors chasing the criminals, and one of the police officers just kind of bent over, and so one of my ushers went out and said, "You're okay," and he just said, "They just run so fast." And so my usher said to him, "Would you like a coffee?" Welcome to my home. I fasted and prayed for you. Because the value that we put on your home, and also the value that the Lord has on your home. So I have a word. It's a long word. So bear with me. Is that okay? After this, I'll send it to the pastor and he can do whatever he wants with it. This is a Genesis 41 season for you. It's a time of restoration. It's a time of realignment. And it's a time of release. You're about to enter into a new season, a new era of Genesis 41, where the following will take place. This season is of restoration, of restitution, remuneration, recalibration, realignment, establishing, and releasing. Number one, restoration. Reclaiming that which was lost. God is restoring back to you in this whare or this house, back to your place of authority, back into the business world where you belong at a higher level, back into marriages, ministries, mantles that were once stolen, dismantled or delayed. This season marks the elevation of sons and daughters into the places of influence in marriages, in families, in ministry, in local and national government. Yes. This is a specific word for someone here. The woman who missed out on becoming a school principal, that position is returning back to you. You were overlooked by man, but never by God. The Lord is the one who brings promotion. Promotion does not come from the east or the west, but from the Lord. You're coming into a time of remembrance, divine payback and favor is now. People from the past, those who once forgot your kindness, will remember you. Those who ignored your applications for jobs and contracts and leadership, entry into schools and universities, will be divinely reminded of you. They will speak your name in the ears of decision makers. Why? Because God never forgets. Genesis 41:14 says, "And Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved and he changed his clothes, and he came to Pharaoh. Joseph was brought quickly before Pharaoh. He was shaved, which meant his old identity was removed. He was clothed. He's now his robes of authority, and he is positioned in royal courts, in governance, and a national influence. This is the direction this church is heading into. Prepare yourself. Change is coming. Posture yourself. Your destiny is here. Change your clothes. Your now has arrived." You're about to be lifted from your circumstances into places of significance and authority in your spheres of influence, whether it's business, whether it's ministry, whether it's community, whether it's work, whether it's home, whether it's family, whether it's government, whatever you're in, God is about to lift you from your circumstances and you can live and look over them and it'll bring you hope. And hope never disappoints. Redirection. A divine shift is in course. You thought you were heading one way, but the Lord has lifted you into another. He is redirecting your steps in alignment with His purpose for this region, for this nation, and for the nations. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Lift up your head. I want you to stand up. I want you to step forward. You are now about to enter into the ease of heaven, where God will dictate the when, the where, and the how. This ease is where the cloud leads by day and fire by night with divine intervention. God's about to give you clear blueprints. He's about to give you divine resources. Precise guidance are being laid out before you. There will be no confusion and there will be no confiscation. You're about to enter into a time of interpretation. You're about to have insight from heaven. This house will be known as a place of interpretation of dreams and visions. This house will be known as a place of God's counsel to resolve the most complex issues. Even children in this house will carry God's insight out of the mouth of babes. Genesis 48 says, do not interpretations belong to God? And God is in the house. People will come unannounced, carrying burdens and problems, and from this house, God's answer will flow. Number 5, healing. It's about to go to another level. Emotional and mental freedom is what's about to be released in the house. A deeper dimension of God's power and peace to heal emotional wounds and mental health issues are being released in the house. It will hover and radiate in and above this house. Those with spiritual discernment will see it from afar and hear the frequency in the Holy Spirit. And those who have ears to hear and eyes to see will know, and then they will say, go to that house. The government will say, go to that house. The local government will say, go to the house. The atheist will say, you're about to enter into the plenty. God's abundance is now made available for you. You're entering to a time of plenty, and the Lord is bringing supernatural supply. 2 Corinthians 19 says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of righteousness. Yet keep your reserves for redundancy, for even the difficult times that will come, so that you can disperse what God has given you. Like Joseph, you are being called to prepare not only for your future, but for the future of the nation. When Israel left Egypt, they plundered their treasures. It was payback time for 400 years of slavery. The Lord is going to take back what the enemy has stolen and return it back to you 100-fold. The lost finances, the lost reputation, the lost trust with your kids or your parents, the lost friendships, the lost church connections because of betrayal and disappointments, the lost marriages and the lost siblings, the lost relationship, or even the lost trust with God, he is about to pay it all back. Are you okay? I have 2 more, and then I'm going to go home. Number 7, governmental wisdom. Leadership is going to increase in this house for government. There is an increase in leadership coming to this house, leaders who carry a governing anointing with wisdom to navigate what's coming ahead. You want to ask the Lord, what are the milestones you're called to celebrate, and what are the millstones you're called to cast off? There is a spiritual shift occurring in this nation from propaganda to propitiation. In other words, from cultural Christianity to Christ's sacrifice. Young adults, a movement arise. There is a movement of young adults, young people arising in this house. The Spirit of the Lord is upon them to lead, to speak, to prophesy, navigate the movement of what's to come. It's your time. Do not despise their youth. They carry fire and clarity for this hour. A name change is coming. Closure and clarity. I see a change of name happening in some situation. God is leading this. It will bring closure to the past and clarity and vision for the present and the future. Just as Joseph's name was changed to Zaphnath Paniah, your identity has been aligned with your new assignment. Everyone's like, what is that? I have no idea. This house was built for global impact. Joseph didn't just prepare for his nation, he prepared for the nations. Likewise, this house was built for the nations. For the administration of the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also abounding through many thanksgivings to God, 2 Corinthians 9:12. From this house will flow a plethora of God's goodness. An abundance of resource, revelation and righteousness, a supply that will feed and sustain others during a famine that will come. A divine shift is taking place here and now. The Lord is about to lift your senior pastors into a higher global position of authority. This is a holy promotion coming, not orchestrated by man, but appointed by the Father. Your senior pastors are being positioned for greater influence, greater global responsibility, and greater spiritual authority across the nation. This is a kingdom advancement, and it comes to call for alignment. As they arise, you must arise as well. As they step into the next level, every senior leader and leader must also rise into their next place of maturity and service and spiritual responsibility. That's the release. This is not just their promotion, it's your invitation to steward the weight of what God is releasing in this house. Each leader must take their position to release your pastors fully in all that God has entrusted them to do. It's their calling, it's their gifting, it's their vision. Finally, step up. The Lord is officiating a divine change. He's clothing his people in royal garments and calling them into places of power, purpose, and prophetic fulfillment. Do not look at the rift of worldly problems. Look at the raft of God's provision carrying you forward. Your Joseph moment is here. Head up, stand tall, change your garments, step into the ease of heaven. Your destiny is now. And we say yes and amen. They seem alone.
the one. There you go.
Pastor Danielle, you're about to come into an incredible prophetic realm. The seer will see. He will open a portal for you to see. He will take you into this portal in the supernatural. It's going to be the ease of heaven. You'll see things that you're like, how on earth? And yet the Lord said, I trust my daughter, Danielle, and I'm going to give her the treasures of heaven. And you're about to come into an anointing like never before. Save your life. It'll change the trajectory where things are going. And what you speak into will shall come to pass. He has elevated you to another level in glory, that the words of the Lord will float in the air for you to see, and you'll capture that scripture and that letter and that sentence, and you'll bring it to pass. You are about. If you can see what I see, in fact, I think you're about to, sir. Your pastor's been teaching you on the prophetic, so I'm gonna just say some stuff in the prophetic. Is that okay?
Yes.
Great teaching. I should have just copied his notes for the last 4 weeks. But I just, because there's a prophetic anointing in this house, you're a prophetic people anyway. I'm just going to give you something else that you can walk into as well. Go change the world, have a feed, and be happy. Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. I'm going to blow my nose. That means turn the mic off. I love you, man. Thank you. I love you. The best person in the house is the sound people. Genesis 20 verse 7 says, now therefore restore the man his wife. This is Abraham, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. I love the King James version. When we think of prophets, we picture Elijah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. But the first person God explicitly called a prophet was Abraham. No fire from heaven, no visions of wheels, just a man who believed, obeyed, and walked with God. Heard it, obeyed it, walked it. Abraham didn't just walk with God, he walked ahead of his time. He was marked by the Spirit of the Lord. He was anointed to see the invisible. He called things that forth on the earth. Abraham heard God and he obeyed him. He left everything. He left his family. He left the land. He left the security without hesitation, without a known destination. He left everything familiar to follow God's voice. Everything you need is outside your comfort zone. Abraham's life shows what prophetic identity looks like before it becomes a performance. It's about posture, it's about covenant, it's about legacy. Chris Valentin said, I love Chris Valentin. It's gonna come up. Thank you for being patient, you guys are amazing. The prophetic is not about being weird. It's about being in tune with heaven and walking in friendship with God. I've met some prophets that are weird as me. Prophetic people are weird people. They're up there somewhere. I try and hang away from them. But Abraham, the prophetic people, they were called by God. He was called by God. Every prophet born of divine calling, like Jeremiah, who was chosen before birth, or Paul, called by the will of God, they were marked by destiny. Prophetic people are marked by destiny. The person sitting next to you is marked by destiny. The person in front of you is marked by destiny. The person behind you is marked by destiny. The person that can nudge you, you are marked by destiny because you're in a prophetic flow. A prophet never wanders if they are called. They walk with conviction born in the fire of God's voice. Am I a prophet? Am I? No. I is. I know that's not good English for you, but where I come from, it is. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive in his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Sometimes you just got to trust God. Why am I here? Why are we here? What? How did you get me here? You just got to trust the Lord. Prophets are called to go where others won't go and say what others won't say, because they tuned into a frequency that only heaven broadcasts. It's not in the AM, it's not in the FM, it's in the God. So you have to carry an anointing, and it's the Spirit of the Lord. The anointing to preach with authority and walk under divine mandates. You have to have the Spirit of the Lord to act on emotion. Not to act on emotion, but move on command. We're going to put the emotion aside and obey. The emotion is, I don't want to go, but the heart is, I'll obey. We don't negotiate as prophetic people. We move. We're not led by fear. We are led by fire. So I want to give you a prophetic declaration. You can repeat after me, because you've been sitting there for nearly 30 minutes not saying anything. I walk in divine mandate. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I am called. I am chosen. I'm compelled by His voice. You should be sitting up now like, me. Number two, Abraham received the secrets of God. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God does not do anything without revealing His secrets to the prophet. God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham wasn't just informed, he interceded. He stood in the gap with tears, pleading with mercy. Revelation without compassion is noise. But revelation with intercession becomes revival. Revival. Not noise. Revival. James Gore, who's an amazing man of God, says true prophets carry secrets not for the purpose of revelation, but for the purpose of transformation. I didn't come here to preach to you. I came here to shift you. Whether you like my preaching or not doesn't matter, really. My job is shift, say hello, have a feed, go home. Prophecy is not who I am. It's what I do. I know who I am. Prophets are not information gatherers. They are trusted friends of God. So you need an anointing, and it's the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom is an anointing to steward secrets. Abraham knew how to speak to God, how to negotiate, how to move God's heart. He had wisdom to teach. Wisdom teaches you what to do with what God shows you. Intellect does not equate to wisdom. Nothing wrong with being smart, but you need wisdom as well. You've known some very smart people do some dumb things. Not the person beside you, someone else. Some people in New Zealand. We need the wisdom of spirit, the spirit of wisdom, to steward God's secret and insight with compassion. Prophetic people must have compassion because the truth really hurts. I teach my people back home and I say to them, as prophets, you see right through people, you can read them. And now where we come from, we hear God, we see things, we feel things. So it's like an x-ray. Do you know how scary that is for people? That's what people come, like I have prophets that I'm accountable to, and I, Lord, when I see the prophet tomorrow, please forgive all my sins. True story. You're laughing, but oh my God, please. I had a fight with my wife yesterday and she thinks I'm very mean. So when we see everything, we see the good and the bad. Now listen to me. When you see, the Bible says true prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. So we speak edification, exhortation, comfort. When we see naughty, we don't tell them. It's for us to intercede. Then people say to me, well, you're not prophetic. Well, I say to them, well, shut up. I don't say it like that. I'm really saying it. I'm like, oh, really? But really, shut your face. Prophecy is what you see in the future and you bring here. Yeah. That's not prophetic. Word of knowledge is the here and now. So you get a word of knowledge, this person, I'm not saying you're naughty, this person's naughty. So what I do is I don't tell them, I intercede first, but I still need to talk to them later because Paul says to strengthen those who are weak. But when I strengthen them, I go with 1 Corinthians 11 says, pursue love, then go for the gifts. Every prophetic ministry must be motivated by the love of God. So the love of God is 1 Corinthians 13. It's patient. It's kind. It doesn't remember any records of wrong. My son tells me that. I'm like, do you remember last week you get dad? 1 Corinthians 13. I'm like, ah. I love you, man. Let me see in the future what you're going to do. No, I'm joking. Do not record that. But really. Is this okay?
Yes.
You're amazing people. I love you. I think I'll come back if I'm invited. Prophetic declaration, they say, everybody. I walk in heaven's strategy. Wisdom rests on me to speak what God reveals and act with divine insight. That's me. I want everyone to say, I'm smart. Good. Number three, Abraham had heavenly vision. I better quickly hurry up. Hebrews 11:10 says, he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was not a tent dweller in heart. He was a city seeker. He'd live for the unseen. Bob Jones, an incredible prophet, said, the true prophetic sees beyond the veil. It's not about seeing into people's lives. It's about seeing into God's heart for a generation. When I look at you, I'm looking at your generation and the next generation and the generation. So I speak into your now to change the future. Hebrews 8:5 says, Moses was warned to see that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Abraham saw a city not built by man, but by God. Vision lifted him above present limitations and future uncertainties. Prophets don't just see what is, they see what shall be, and they live for what is eternal. So you need an anointing, the spirit of understanding, this anointing to see the eternal. Proverbs 3:5-6, lean not on your own understanding. Colossians, filled with the knowledge of his will and spiritual wisdom. So we're going to do a prophetic declaration because you've been sitting there for about 25 minutes and I'm doing all the work. Here we go. Everybody stand up. Come on, stand. Say it one more time. Let's go.
I walk in divine understanding. I see the why behind the what, and I follow God's eternal
design. Now, I want you to say with conviction, I.
So
you're going to own it, right? Say it again one more time.
I walk in divine understanding.
I
see the why behind the what, and I follow God's eternal design.
You guys are just so clever. Take a seat. Number four, he was a friend of God. James 2:23, Abraham believed God and he was called God's
friend.
Everyone's leaving. Am I okay? Did I defend anybody? No? My time? Sorry. I'm your friend. Chris Vellerton says, prophets aren't just mouthpieces. They're God's friends who carry his emotions and his intentions. Abraham didn't just serve God, he knew God. Revelation flows from relationships, and the closer you get to God's heart, the clearer you hear his voice. And so you need the spirit of counsel, which counsel flows from intimacy. Abraham's intimacy made him a wise leader. Counsel guides not just with knowledge, but with God's heart. So we have a prophetic declaration. Not from distant, like he's a God out there.
Right.
My friend. God and I, we're besties, man.
Yeah.
Jesus and I, Holy Ghost, stop being naughty. Do you know many times I'm ministering and I'm like, please, and I can see Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're just having fun together, standing at the door, laughing at me. I'm like, this is not a good time to laugh. I need you. Laughing to the like, look at them. Amazing. Anyway, carry on. Some of you are looking at me like, weirdo. You're a weirdo. Number five, he walked in covenant with God. Genesis 17, Hebrews 6:14, I will surely bless you and multiply your descendants. Covenant marked Abraham, and it wasn't covenant, it was costly. Prophetic people carry costly consecration. You literally have to die to yourself. Prophets walk in covenant, not casual conversation. God changed Abraham's name, sealed him with circumcision, ouch, and gave him a generational promise. Jennifer LeClaire said, prophetic voices must be consecrated voices. If your life isn't set apart, your word carries no weight. This church has great weight. You're fasting soon. Fasting costs you. It costs you food. When you're Samoan, it's God plus food. Family comes down the list somewhere. So you need an anointing. It's the anointing of the spirit of might that gives you an anointing for endurance. Covenant gives you strength to endure barren seasons and belief for breakthrough. Prophetic declaration, I didn't even put it up. I'm in covenant. I will carry what God has promised. You are a carrier of God's promises. Just quickly. Number six. Is this okay?
Yes.
He saw the future. Huh? Who likes to see the future? I'm not sure. John 8:56. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham, thousands of years ago, saw Jesus coming. He was like, all my life. Look what's coming. Imagine what you can do when you see what's coming in the future. Like, prophetic people see the future. Some of you are doubting me. I could tell you a few stories, but I'll tell you tonight when you come back. Because some of you are like, oh, stay tonight, today and tomorrow and tonight. And come back. Abraham saw Jesus. James Gall says, the prophetic anointing brings tomorrow into today. It gives language to destiny before it arrives. The prophetic takes what is in God's heart for the future and releases it into the now. I take what I see then. That's why when I prophesy over people, some leaders are like, are you sure you're talking to the right person? Like, you're a man of God. You're a prophetic person. They're like, Pastor, they haven't even given up smoking yet. You see the now, I see what's coming. World changer. He hardly comes to church. Incredible man of God. Speak by. Prophetic people, be careful what you say because the words create. So my wife says to me, you better be careful with what you say when you're angry to me. She goes, because what you say is a prophet, you're creating. I like a hot chocolate, please. Carry on. I'm making you laugh because some of these points are quite... Is that all right? That's why you need the spirit of knowledge has an anointing to see redemptive patterns. We always seem to look at negative stuff, don't we? Oh, here we go again. Ugh. Preaching the same thing. Hey, sit up. God's on your side. So Abraham knew God's unfolding plan because of knowledge and prophetically foresaw salvation's history. So here's a prophetic declaration before we finish. We almost finished. Some people find that hard to do and say because they've gone through such a difficult time. Some of you have been facing some real challenges in life and you're like, I can't even believe that. Can I just say this to you? Believe it. Because God's on your side. You are going to get through this. Pastor, my marriage is a mess. You will get through this. My kids don't even like, you will get through this. I've lost my job. The addiction has taken it. You're going to get through this. I was a porn addict for years till Jesus came. You're going to get through this, man. I can't stop drinking. You're going to get through this. I can't stop thinking negative. This depression's got to me. You will get through this in Jesus. Rejoice in what's coming. Because the coming is good. Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, says Lord. Good. Last one. He walked in the fear of the Lord. Isaiah talks about walking in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord shall rest upon him. Abraham's obedience on Mount Moriah reveals deep reverence for the Lord. He fears God above logic, above comfort, above even above his promise. The fear of the Lord is not terror. It's trembling trust. It's a reverent surrender to the one who holds all things. Listen to me. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for surrender. Stop trying to be perfect. Just look how far you've come. Look how far you come, girl. Yes, I'm talking to you. Look how far you've come. You're amazing. With your hair flicked back and everything like that. Stop it. Prophets are called to walk in purity and in awe of God's presence. This fear preserves the anchors them and anchors them in holiness. So here's the Spirit of the Lord. This keeps prophetic voices pure, humble, and aligned with God's heart. Prophetic people must walk in purity. You must make sure that your words are in line with the Lord's. Prophetic declaration. Now it's time for you to rise up. Walk with God. Hear and obey God. Carry His fire, not fear. Speak His words from His heart.